When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer. And U.S. Soccer and the Shebelees Cup in Atlanta on April 6th. And Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with us. A weekly show talking about soccer in Atlanta, all over the state of Georgia, all over the Southeast, all over the United States, all over the world, to be perfectly honest. It's AST on a Tuesday night. A Tuesday night that's a few days ahead of MLS Cup 2024. And it's the New York Red Bulls who have gotten there to face the LA Galaxy. The Galaxy being there, not really a surprise. I thought they were the best team in the West. I had this conversation with a lot of people all season long, and they were the most impressive team in the Western Conference to me. I know they finished second. They fell into that second place spot on the last day of the regular season. LAFC didn't impress me in the same way that the LA Galaxy have this season. And so much of it is that offense that will not be at 100% when we get to MLS Cup. The Red Bulls being there is absolutely a surprise. The Red Bulls were disappointing for the majority of the regular season, but there was a reason for that. And Emil Forsberg has made this New York Red Bulls team a very different animal than they've been in the past. Sandro Schwartz as well, their manager in his first year, has had great success. But this is a Red Bulls team that when they have Forsberg on the field, they have been among the elite teams in Major League Soccer. When they don't, they haven't been all that great, to be honest. They have Forsberg on the field. That player, and we're going to find out how important he is, the LA Galaxy have missed him at times this season. Ricky Pooch, he's that guy for the Galaxy, and he will not be part of MLS Cup. This has been a historic kind of offense for the Galaxy. They've scored 16 goals in four playoff games, one behind Toronto in 2016 in terms of the highest scoring postseason on record. But a big reason for that has been Ricky Pooch. He's got four goals and three assists in the postseason. It was his assist on Saturday night in a tight game against the Seattle Sounders. That assist put the Galaxy into this game. We found out after the fact, and there were some questions after the final whistle. He went straight to the locker room. They were waiting to present the trophy until he came back out. There was a very long embrace with his manager, Greg Vanney. We found out why when it was announced that he had torn his ACL in the second half. That assist with a torn ACL. And it was an incredible ball, which has been the hallmark of Ricky Pooch's season for the LA Galaxy. 13 goals, 15 assists. In any other season in this league, what Ricky Pooch has done would be a most valuable player season. There's been some others that have been just as good, if not better. It's arguable. Ricky Pooch has been amazing for this LA Galaxy team. I thought he was amazing in the semifinal, even with the torn ACL in the second half. Here is his manager, Greg Vanney, talking to the media today about missing Ricky Pooch in the MLS Cup final.
First and foremost, he's the ultimate competitor. I mean, he wants to win. He wants to compete. He wants to play. He wants to impact the game. And he wants responsibility out on the field. And, you know, that's that he drives the team in many ways. You know, when you look at the end of a stat sheet on any given day, he's probably touched the ball 120 times, 140 times, and he'll lead the team in touches by a good margin, you know? So, because he, again, like I said, he wants to win and he wants to impact the game. And so, we'll miss that on the attacking side for sure, as somebody who can just change the tempo of a game like this, and any play in any given moment can be the one that changes the game when you have a guy like Ricky, and, because of his capacity to pull kind of plays off and do things like that. So, we're going to miss him on that side of things. You know, on the defensive side of things, he's just always, I think, as much as anything, he's someone who is an intelligent defender about his positioning. But more than anything, he's someone that the opposition always has to account for in transition, because the team is so good in transition through him. And so they also have to be really mindful of Ricky when they have the ball.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. That was Greg Vanney talking about the LA Galaxy missing Ricky Pooch in the MLS Cup final on Saturday because of a torn ACL that he suffered in the Western Conference final last Saturday. That last part was really important, especially when it comes to playing the New York Red Bulls. You know, we had this conversation with Bartosz Szlich with Atlanta United talking about playing Miami and those transition moments, knowing that you had guys behind your back when you're on the ball. Even when you're wanting to transition, you know you have to be aware of where a player like Ricky Pooch is. So it changes everything. Maybe for a team that likes to press, like the New York Red Bulls, maybe they're a little more careful if Ricky Pooch is on the field, because if first line of pressure is broken, you're in trouble if the Galaxy find him. Well, you don't have him here. As Greg Vanney mentioned as well, this is somebody who's on the ball a lot for the LA Galaxy. It's one thing to have to replace a playmaker and what he gives you. This is a Galaxy team with a lot of attacking talent. Gabriel Peck, Joseph Paintsill, two of the best additions in the league this season, and they come into the same team. They have ways to hurt you. They have very talented players. Mark Delgado. Marco Royce becomes very important, and he only played 45 minutes in that Western Conference final. Can he give you a lot of what Ricky Pooch has given you previously in his career? Absolutely. Now? I don't know. When you have a legend like that, maybe he can turn that dial back about 10 years for a one-off in a final. Maybe he's got that. Then again, maybe not. He's not quite the same kind of player. Is he going to drop into all those positions that Ricky Pooch would against a team like the Red Bulls? This is the lowest ever seed to reach MLS Cup. This has been just like Atlanta United was in the postseason. This is a team that has embraced being an underdog, and they have taken it as far as they possibly can. This is a team that wasn't all that great away from home during the season, but remember, during the season, you were missing Emil Forsberg for a lot of it. They've won every game on the road in the postseason, 3 out of 3. Sandro Schwartz took over this team in December, so just about a year ago. Coached 14 years in Germany. He's the 12th head coach in Major League Soccer history to reach MLS Cup during his first season in charge. He spoke to the media about that first season in charge. Here's Sandro Schwartz from earlier today.
Yeah, it's great since my first day when I came here in our facility, in our stadium, to feel the atmosphere, to to know the people, to get to know all these peoples here in our club, and this was great. And also to start the work with our players, with the whole team on the field, and we had very, very good moments, very well moments during the season, in the regular season, and then also was a part of the season, especially end of the part, some games, which was not so good how we played. So, but at the end now. Very good energy level, very good mentality, and for sure I'm very proud now to be here and that we have the chance all together, this big opportunity to play the final. And so, and this is this was my personal journey from the whole year, but now my main focus is also how can we win and how can we be in a very good spot for Saturday.
What I like about what Sandro Schwartz has done with the New York Red Bulls this season is think back to some of the Red Bulls teams we've seen in the past that would enjoy having 35% of possession, even less sometimes. This was a team that was built on not having the ball. This was a team that was built on pressing, and when they were forced to have the ball, they struggled. And remember, this was a team that had Sasha Kljestan, who was one of the best assist men in league history during his time there. They needed a little bit more. Then when Sasha got a little bit older in his career, they went out and they got Kaku. Kaku was never exactly what they needed. Then they struggled without that and really without a personality in the group to do the things that they need to do in a postseason kind of run. That's the thing about what this team is with Emil Forsberg. They can play. They've had this season around 44% of the ball. It doesn't sound like much. I'm reluctant at times, and I know I've kind of evolved my thinking over times here. I feel like I'm going old school. I've talked about stats in the game, and there are some stats that I think are important, and in the flow of a game and in the flow of a season, there are some statistics that are important, but they only give you part of the picture. So when I say a difference of 10 percentage points in possession, you might think, it's not really that big of a deal. I think it is for the Red Bulls, and especially this time of year, because where I've felt like they have been a letdown, and this is going back to two seasons where they won the Supporters' Shield. Talk about 2018, where Atlanta United got past them in the Eastern Conference Final. This was a team in the past that when you said, you know what, it's a knockout game, I've got to win, I might have my principles of the way that I want to play. I might have things I want to accomplish in the 90 minutes. I need to win. Here, you guys can't play with the ball. Take it. Let's see what you got. That's what teams would do to the Red Bulls. And I remember one game, I think it was Red Bulls in Philadelphia, where neither one wanted the ball, and it was not a fun watch. You've got to, this time of year especially, you've got to have players who are not afraid of having the ball. You've got to have a team that when you have to do something with the ball, you can go win the game. I don't think in the past the Red Bulls could do that. They can now. Emil Forsberg's that kind of a player. With that said, a full-strength LA Galaxy team, I think, gets the win. They're not full strength. They're missing their most important player. And I don't know what the Galaxy look like truly without him in a game of this magnitude. I just don't. That takes a game where I would have said, no question, it's going to be the Galaxy who get it done. They can deal with the press, and they can break the Red Bulls down, and they're good enough in those transition moments defensively to handle it. Now I don't know, because this is a team that will not be as confident as they would have been. They've been very confident at home. 16-0-4 across all competitions at home, the LA Galaxy, in 2024. I really don't know where this game goes. That creates excitement. That makes it a must-watch kind of a match. It's Saturday. It's 2:30 p.m. You can watch on Apple TV on MLS Season Pass. We'll be talking about it next week on AST, along with a lot of other things. And that's what's going to lead us into this break. It's the offseason for everybody but two teams in Major League Soccer. There's been some news off the field, and there's also a calendar that you need to know about as we go into next week. There's going to be a lot of roster movement around MLS. Atlanta United will be part of that. We'll break all of that down when we come back from the break. It's Atlanta Soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Soccer City, USA. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We're talking Major League Soccer. We're going to shift a little bit off the field after kind of laying out some of the storylines with MLS Cup final on Saturday. Talked about the coaches a lot in that, and I wanted to just talk a little bit about coaching in Major League Soccer because there's some vacancies. I don't know if you've heard, Atlanta United is in the market for a new manager, and that should get announced sooner rather than later. Garth Lagerwey spoke to the media last week about that and said it would be in a couple of weeks. It'd definitely be before Christmas. Things get really busy around MLS next week for everybody. So I don't know what the timeline's looking like, but Atlanta United will be among quite a few other teams that will be looking to hire a new manager. There are only two managers in the league who have been in their position for more than 6 years. Peter Vermes has been in Kansas City for a long time. Brian Schmetzer has been in Seattle for what feels like an eternity since 2016 midseason. Oscar Pareja, first season in Orlando was 2020. Greg Vanney is next on that list. He has his LA Galaxy in the final. They would have been the favorite. I think they still will be the favorite according to the juice box purveyors, but Greg Vanney is the fourth longest serving manager in this league. He took over ahead of the 2021 season. Outside of Vanney, Pareja, Schmetzer, Vermes, Pablo Mastroeni took over late in the 2021 season. Then you're getting into guys who took over in 2022. Pat Noonan, Steve Cherundolo. That's it. Everyone else in the league that is in a job has only coached that team since the start of the 2023 season or later. Anybody who tries to tell you MLS doesn't have much pressure because you don't have promotion relegation and the regular season doesn't mean anything and yah, blah, blah, then why are all these managers losing their jobs? Don't tell me this stuff doesn't matter. You want to know why it matters? Players are earning more money than ever. Teams are spending more money than ever. More people are going to the games than ever before. People are watching, consuming, I don't know, maybe listening to radio shows on a Tuesday night in Atlanta. They're in. They're bought in. Everybody is bought in now, and there's more people bought in. That creates expectations, and expectations create pressure. There is significant pressure around this league to be successful. Greg Vanney with the Galaxy shows you that maybe sometimes you got to put those headphones on and block out the external noise if you believe you have the right guy. Sandro Schwartz shows you sometimes that a new guy can be successful and can change what you have. Atlanta United will be hiring a new manager for the 2025 season. Can that new manager come in and do what Sandro Schwartz has done and take Atlanta United to the MLS Cup final? Find out. Got a while to see where that's going to go. We'll see who that person is going to be first. But a couple teams have joined this sweepstakes lately. One of them has joined it. One team has gotten out of it. We kind of knew they were going to get out of it, but they made news today. Javier Mascherano was introduced in Fort Lauderdale as the new manager of Inter Miami. And it's funny, I didn't know this at the time. I think I remember maybe some conversation about it, but Javier Mascherano, he finished his career back in South America, obviously was a legend with Barcelona, was a legend with Liverpool as well. I think legend, maybe Liverpool fans would disagree a little bit on that. Miami wanted to sign him ahead of their first season in 2020. They wanted him to play a season with the club and then take over as a coach in the academy. Funny that now he skips that academy part and becomes the head coach of the first team after Tata Martino leaves the club. Mascherano, who, look, frankly, has not been successful with the Argentine U20 national team. He's also never managed at the club level. He has as much experience as anybody you could possibly imagine. Second most games in the history of the Argentine national team behind Lionel Messi, one of his best friends, who he will now be his boss. He's also pretty good friends with Luis Suarez, with Sergio Busquets, with Jordi Alba, and now he's going to be their boss. So we will see. As a player, one of my all-time favorites, if you don't know the story about what he sacrificed, it's maybe the best way to put it, in the 2014 World Cup semifinal for Argentina against the Netherlands to get Argentina to a penalty shootout and help get them to that World Cup final. If you don't know that story, Google is your friend. As hard-nosed of a player as you will find, one of the smartest players you will find, a six who turned into a center back at Barcelona and was a perfect fit. Can he be that guy in charge of Inter Miami? We'll see. We'll find out. Toronto now, they have joined the sweepstakes after John Herdman resigned as head coach of Toronto on Friday. Completely unexpected. There were some reactions to this, I believe, on this very show when he was hired by Toronto late in the 2023 season, took over really for 2024. I said that I didn't think it would be successful. I did not envision that this is how it would not be successful. The part on the field, I don't think was all that hard to see that it wouldn't necessarily be successful. That's a roster that's not that great. It's very top heavy. They don't have enough talent. They don't have enough talent defensively. They're frankly not good enough to compete in the Eastern Conference. I think John Herdman's personality at times could make that more of a challenge, although by most accounts, he didn't have those issues in the locker room with some of the big personalities in that Toronto locker room, Lorenzo Insigne, Federico Bernardeschi, maybe a few others. I think generally, you didn't really hear anybody complaining about playing for him. He didn't make many friends. I remember watching him, for whatever reason, not shake Gonzalo Pineda's hand in the match up there early in the season, which was very strange. Croatian fans, not really a fan of Mr. John Herdman. Oh, yeah. And then there's that whole drone spying scandal. Bev Priestman, the head coach for Canada's women's national team, cost her job being part of that scandal. Herdman resigned. He was the former Canadian women's and men's head coach and has been linked to a culture of spying within Canada soccer. Investigators, as the news came out from this summer at the Olympics, investigators looked back at the history of Canadian soccer and wanted to talk to John Herdman about his time there, and he refused to speak to them. He came out and publicly said that he was sure that those things did not happen in the major competitions that he was in charge of. And then things got leaked that, yeah, they did. And you might hear all that and then kind of wonder why Toronto FC continued to allow him to be their head coach. I have that question as well. I think it was pretty obvious that at a minimum, which seems just a farce to even say, At a minimum, he looked the other way. At a maximum, considering he was the head coach of both national teams at various stages and went from one to the other, that I don't know, maybe John Herdman was involved in creating that culture. Again, allegedly, I don't know this, but the fact that he didn't speak to the investigators to clarify, I think it tells you a lot. There's also the fact that Canada Soccer, the National Association, was still investigating the whole situation, and they could have suspended him from working in Canada. That would include Toronto FC. They could have suspended him for life. I don't know if they're going to. Maybe now they just all look the other way and try to move on, but interesting all the way around. And John Herdman said that he made the difficult decision. It was the right time to step away from the club. Yeah. Anyway, we'll probably find out more. I do think some of these things are going to come out. I do think John Herdman is not going to end up looking great at the end of all of it. So it's not a surprise that his reign in Toronto was a big failure. The way that it happened was definitely not on the bingo card. What is on the bingo card is a very packed calendar in Major League Soccer next week. MLS Cup, Saturday afternoon, Carson, California, LA Galaxy, New York Red Bulls. You get a chance to breathe on Sunday. You get a chance to rest. You have brunch. Monday, no brunch. 9 a.m. Eastern time, the half-day trade window is back. One of the greatest things in this league, a four-hour trade window after the season is done, before rosters get locked again. It is such an MLS thing, and I absolutely love it. So there's been talk about trades. There's talk of three New England players moving to San Jose to reunite with Bruce Arena, who's in charge of the Earthquakes now. That can't be officially done until that four-hour trade window. Maybe we'll see a bunch of trades. Maybe we won't. You never know what you're going to get in the half-day trade window. So then when that's done, rosters lock again. Tuesday, the league will announce the eligible players for the expansion draft. That's going to be on Wednesday. San Diego, new to the league in 2025, they will pick five players from that list. You can only lose one player, so don't panic. If you're Atlanta United, we'll talk about it from an Atlanta United perspective here in just a second. Thursday, free agency opens. There's a waiver draft at the end of the business day on Thursday. The re-entry draft, that's a whole complicated thing. We might talk about it next week. I might just tell you to look it up on Google. It's a mess. That's on Friday. There's going to be movement. Atlanta United might be hiring a coach during all of this as well. So just buckle up. The expansion draft. I know a lot of people always get really hung up on this, and I want to give this to you a little bit from the Atlanta United perspective, because the clubs that played in 2024, they can protect 12 players. And that's from the roster that ended the season. So, for example, Dax McCarty, Quentin Westberg, who have announced their retirements. They're part of that. So you're not going to protect them. If you want to draft a retired player, well, that's a strategy. That's a choice. I don't know if it's a good one. You don't have to protect players who are out of contract, for example. So some of this picks itself. You don't have to protect Generation Adidas players. You don't have to protect homegrown players 25 years and younger. That gives you a lot of help if you're Atlanta United, because you have quite a few of those homegrown players. Designated players, TAM players, not automatically protected. You can choose not to. You can kind of dare San Diego to take them. You can take them. Like if I'm Orlando, for example, I'm daring San Diego to take Luis Muriel in the expansion draft. He was the biggest bust of a designated player in 2024, over $4 million in salary, and didn't really start that much. If a player has a no trade clause in their contract, you have to protect them. That takes up one of your 12 spots. We don't know who those players are. We might see a name that is a little bit surprising. You got to deal with it then. From the Atlanta perspective, so that you're looking at your senior roster, you're not getting worried about the supplemental roster, the homegrowns, et cetera, et cetera. You start to do the math, and I think Atlanta United will be pretty good when you look at the expansion draft and who they have to protect. We'll talk about it next Tuesday once the list is out. If there's any surprises, we'll get into it. We'll save that for next week on AST. Because right now, it's time to take our last break. We're going to come back. It's the 3-4-3. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, back in five on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, and it's time for the fastest segment in soccer radio anywhere. It's the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me this evening as we put a bow on the show. Three local stories to start us off. Number one, the Emory Eagles. Their women's team plays in the NCAA D3 semifinal on Friday night in Vegas. Here's head coach Sue Patberg from her interview with the SDH Network's John Nelson earlier this week on what getting to this stage means to the Emory program.
No, it's everybody's dream, right? I mean, it's been our program's dream. We've only been here once before and, you know, been fighting tooth and nail to try to get back here. And, you know, I think anytime you're in this position, you're obviously your current team is representing themselves, right? But you're really representing your whole program and every player that has put in their heart and soul into the program before them. And you want to make all of those alumni who are so invested and are blowing you up and making the trip out there, you want to make them proud as well. And so it's not just a moment for our current team and our current staff, but it's for the past staffs and the past players. And so it's a really exciting time. And the support that we're getting here at Emory is just amazing from the other coaches, from the other staff members. I mean, it's really fun.
It's a great program at Emory. Sue Patberg has been there for a long time, and she's got her Eagles back to a national semifinal. It's Friday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time. If they win, they'll get to the national championship game on Sunday. There's another women's team in Georgia that is still playing, Columbus State. They're ranked number 2 in the country at the D2 level. They're hosting West Florida in Columbus this Saturday at 3 o'clock. Another coach who has been with the program for a long period of time, Jay Entlich, he appeared on the SDH Network this morning speaking to John Nelson. And he talked about the balanced attack that his team has had in 2024. Here's Jay Entlich from the SDH Network.
I think this year, I did learn today, this year we've scored the most goals in program history. So we're right at 100 goals. So I wanted to check that stat. I think the last time 2016, we had 96 goals. But I then went back and looked at where were the goals coming from all the way back to 2015. That was our best season. Honestly, it was probably 2 or 3 kids, and they were up in the 20s, right? Wait, one kid had 20, one kid had 18. One kid had 17. And so in years past, it's always been probably about 3 kids that have carried the workload. And so the coolest thing this year is of the 100 goals, the highest goal scoring duo right now is 12. We have 2 players with 12. And then you're talking 10, 9, 8. So the balance has been awesome.
So hard to get a team that's that balanced. The Columbus State Cougars are, and they try to get to the NCAA Final Four at the D2 women's side of things. There's a D2 men's team that is still alive from the Atlanta area, Clayton State down in Morrow. They have advanced to the quarterfinals this weekend. They knocked off number 1 Limestone over the weekend. 2 goals from Alex Rodriguez, originally hailing from Spain. Goalkeeper Mauricio Uribe made 9 saves in the win as well. First quarterfinal appearance for the Lakers since 2010. They've never been to the national semifinals. They got a tough road to get there. They got a long trip down to Boca Raton, Florida to face number 2 Lynn University on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. 4 headlines from around the world in the 3-4-3. Let's start with number 1. Alyssa Nair completed her U.S. Women's National Team career with a win in the Netherlands today. Not just any win, too. She had a good bit of work to do. She was outstanding in the match. They came from behind, conceded first, ended up winning 2-1 over a really good Dutch team. Own goal in the first half, Lynn Williams in the 71st was the winning goal. That was assisted by Yasmin Ryan, who made her 2nd U.S. Women's National Team start. She came off the bench at halftime in the scoreless draw against England over the weekend. I thought Ryan maybe elevated her spot in this roster more than anyone else in these 2 games. U.S. women unbeaten in their last 14 games away from home. Lily Johannes, who committed to the U.S. women's national team program instead of the Netherlands, she earned her 2nd cap today coming into the 2nd half of the match. Number 2 on the headlines, the National Soccer Hall of Fame announced 5 members of its 2025 class. Mark Abbott, Chris Armas, Mary Harvey, Carly Lloyd, and Nick Raimondo. Carly Lloyd, I think everybody knows Carly Lloyd at this stage. 2-time FIFA Women's World Player of the Year, Golden Ball as the best player at the 2015 Women's World Cup, 2 World Cup titles, 2 Olympic gold medals, 316 caps for the U.S. Women's National Team. Nick Raimondo has a lot of games under his belt as well. One of the best goalkeepers I've ever seen. Most appearances in First Division American Soccer. Won 2 MLS Cup titles with DC United and with Real Salt Lake. He was MVP in 2009 with RSL. 553 games in 20 MLS seasons. 22 caps for the U.S. Men's National Team. Chris Armas another guy, a lot of games, a lot of success in MLS. He's currently the head coach in Colorado. 66 caps with the national team, and he had awful luck, injured right before the 2002 World Cup. He came back from that injury, injured again in 2005. That ruled him out for the 2006 World Cup. But in MLS, 12 seasons, played for LA and for Chicago. Postseason best 11 five times. Played in MLS Cup four times. Incredible career, Chris Armas. Goalkeeper maybe you don't know on this list, Mary Harvey. She won the first FIFA Women's World Cup that the U.S. won, the first tournament ever in 1991. Played every minute of all six U.S. games in that tournament. Only conceded five goals, three clean sheets. She was also part of the roster at the 1996 Olympic Games, the first Olympic gold medal. So she's got the first World Cup gold medal and the first Olympic gold medal. Not the first for the program, the first that ever happened. Amazing. First, one of the first U.S. women to also play professionally overseas, played 3 years in the German first division, 2 years in the Swedish first division. And Mark Abbott, if you know MLS, you know Mark Abbott. He was the president, deputy commissioner of the league for 10 seasons. He had been the vice president for business affairs before that. He was the first ever employee of the league, hired in 1993, 3 years before they actually kicked off, an MLS employee throughout the league's first 30 years. Number three on the headlines, the inaugural draw for the FIFA Club World Cup. Yeah, there's another thing that's happening kind of right now. That's not the Club World Cup anymore. This is the Club World Cup. It's going to be in Atlanta next summer. The draw happens on Thursday at 1 o'clock. 32 teams. It's like the World Cup format in the past, like the old Champions League format. Eight groups of four. Top two teams move into the knockout tournament after that. Opening game we know is going to be at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami on June 15th this upcoming summer. The final we know is going to be at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey on July 13th. We don't know anything else. We do know the pots for the teams and how they'll be drawn. It's super complicated in terms of trying to get European versus South American semifinals and not have European teams knock one another off in earlier stages of the knockout round. So very complicated, too much for us to get into here. But pot one, the highest ranked teams in the world, Manchester City, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, PSG, Flamengo, Palmeiras, River Plate, and Fluminense. Top four from Europe, top four from South America. Some really interesting permutations for that tournament. Going to be a lot of fun to watch. And number four on the headlines, I wanted to shout this out. Wales, on the women's side, they lost their first ever international over 50 years ago, 3-2 to Ireland. They finally got their revenge today. An aggregate playoff scoreline of 3-2. To book their spot at Euro 2025. First time the Welsh women have ever made it to the finals of a major tournament. Big time congrats to the Wales women's national team. Let's finish with some positivity, shall we? Three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. We talked about her earlier, Alyssa Nair. How hard is it in any sport, in any industry, to replace a legend? Hope Solo's a legend. Hope Solo is one of the best goalkeepers to ever play the game. Alyssa Nair replaced her. How hard is it to replace a legend who replaced a legend? Brian Escurry was the goalkeeper before Hope Solo for the national team. There's a little bit of overlap. That lineage is ridiculous. Mary Harvey was before that. She's going into the Hall of Fame. Alyssa Nair acted like it didn't matter in the sense that it never seemed to be a burden. It never seemed to weigh her down. One of the best to ever do it. And just a big time factor in the U.S. women's national team's success, whether it was winning the World Cup in 2019, whether it was winning the Olympic gold medal this past summer. Just so steady. amazing performances from Alyssa Nair, an amazing player for the U.S. Women's National Team program. It's quite a debate. Who's the best? Is it Harvey? Is it Scurry? Is it Solo? Is it Nair? Going to be hard to argue against any of them. And Alyssa Nair deserves that spot on that Mount Rushmore of U.S. Women's National Team goalkeepers. Number two, something else we talked about as well in the 3-4-3. The smaller college programs in the state of Georgia thriving. And when I say smaller, I'm talking D2. I'm talking D3. Georgia Gwinnett has had a great year at NAIA. Dalton State has had a great year at NAIA. SCAD down in Savannah, great year in NAIA. I know when we talk about what's a success, what makes you a great player, every player wants to become a professional. Every player who goes through, whether it's the top ECNL team on the women's side, whether it's Atlanta United's Academy, whether it's South Georgia Tormenta's Academy, you go through that in professional environment, professional academy, you want to be a pro. Sometimes that line is not linear. Sometimes you have to go to college and then go have a pro career. That's happened plenty. Machope Scholl from the Atlanta area, prime example of that. There's a lot of different routes. And I think if you're a player, and especially now with the transfer portal being what it is and the movement in the college game being what it is, you can go play D2, D3, NAIA, JUCO. Go play, and this message goes out to the players, but also the parents. Go play at a program that you're going to enjoy your soccer. Because if you're part of this Emory program right now, you're enjoying your soccer. If you're part of Columbus State, if you're part of Clayton State, you're enjoying your soccer. You're playing for championships and you're playing good soccer in all of those programs, led by coaches who've been there for a long time and know what they're doing. Pete Peterson at Clayton State, been there a long time, just like Jay Entlich, just like Sue Patberg. Big time soccer being played at lower levels in the state of Georgia. College game is a viable route to finding a life in soccer. Highly recommended. Those are three programs doing it right. And number three, on things that make me smile about this game that I love so much, I'm not going to be smiling on Saturday because we're not going to get a chance to watch him in the MLS Cup final, Ricky Pooch. Just my kind of player. Loves the ball, wants the ball, will do anything to get on the ball, and he makes magic happen with it. He has had one of the best seasons that we've ever seen in MLS and probably the best season that nobody's talking about enough. We'll see how big of an absence it is for the LA Galaxy. I'm reluctant to make a prediction because of his absence. I do think they have enough to overcome it, but it's not going to be easy, and they're going to have to find somebody who can give them a reasonable facsimile of what Ricky Pooch has done this season. He has been incredible. Go watch the highlights. It will definitely put a smile on your face. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. AST back next Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Will we have a manager for Atlanta United? Might have some signings, might have a manager. Who knows? It's going to be an interesting one. Talk to you next week. Adios, everybody.